John chapter 10. That book marks in Malachi. John chapter 10. I want to start with an interactive question. Have you ever had an earworm? Get some chuckles, right? My guess is that each of us has had at least one, probably within the last month or so. Maybe even having multiple throughout the year. I know I definitely do. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, oh, that's gross. Why are you asking about earworms? Well, the good news about an earworm is that you don't need any sort of antifungal cream or to take any sort of pill to get rid of this parasite. The only thing you have to do is press play on a different song. Right? An earworm is the term that's used when you get a song stuck in your head. Okay? Skillet. Yeah. That one, I can handle skillet getting stuck in my head. But you know, you've had this experience, right? Maybe you hear someone even just say the words, just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
Thanks, Bert.
Or, never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Or, I got some parents in here. Baby shark, doo 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 doo, baby shark. You're welcome. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's the crazy thing about songs like this. They get stuck in our head. And I remember we took a youth group to St. Louis for Dare to Share. And it was 2008. Yeah, because it was before I moved. So 2008, and one of the girls was teaching us this song, Baby Shark. And then just a couple years ago, it just like exploded, I think, because of, you know, China Talk, but or TikTok, I mean. But it's funny how things get stuck in our head, right? And like, it's kind of funny because now you've got one of these stuck in your head. The reason I bring this up is because sometimes we get a thought about God stuck in our head, right? And it plays over and over and over, and it can be difficult to get rid of, right? Maybe you're thinking, God is just angry with me. He's just so disappointed in me. He's punishing me. Sometimes the things we think about God are just untrue. And we need to kick them out and replace them with real truth. About 10 years ago, there was a guy on YouTube, his name was Julian Smith, and he released this song, and I share it back and forth with my friends from Missouri all the time, especially when I get a song stuck in my head. But the name of this song that he released on YouTube is called Stuck Inside Your Head. And the song goes, when a song gets stuck inside your head, just sing this song. Just sing the song instead. It goes like bum 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 bum. Hey, the end of the song, he's making fun of you because now that song's stuck in your head. But sometimes we need to play a new song in our head, right? Especially when, you know, it comes to relating to God. Jesus didn't come to change God's mind about us, right? Jesus came to change our minds about God. Right? So we need to make sure that we have that new song, that new earworm stuck in our head, realizing that the direction of our thinking about God is backwards. Is God angry with me? Is God disappointed in me? Is God punishing me? That's backwards thinking. Replace that with truth. So we're going to look at a few things this morning that Jesus taught about himself, which directly contrasted what the religious leaders of his day were teaching. Right? They were planting an earworm in the people. Jesus came to play a new song. The Pharisees played this song on repeat in the heads of the people. A song of shame. A song of alienation. Jesus brought this new song of love and restoration. When Jesus teaches about himself, he is simultaneously teaching the same thing about God. Here in a moment, we're going to read through John 10, verses 1 through 10. And in this passage, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And this passage is directly tied to what happens in chapter 9, when Jesus heals the blind man who had been blind from birth. The Pharisees were throwing a fit over Jesus healing a guy on the Sabbath, because it's so horrible to heal a guy. As if that was work for Jesus. They were angry also because people were starting to follow this Jesus guy. They were convinced that this formerly blind man and Jesus were just both absolute sinners. The worst of all people. So the Pharisees took this formerly blind man, they interrogated him, they threw him out of the synagogue for not rejecting Jesus. They also threatened him by threatening his parents. They had no problem alienating people who didn't measure up to their standards. Jesus makes sure to point out that it is in fact the Pharisees who were blind. Right? And then we shift into chapter 10. So let's read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." I remember that one. They know his voice. "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, verse 7, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came," Jesus says, "that they may have life and have it abundantly." Wow, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Man, we thank you for these words of Jesus. Knowing, Lord, that we're sheep. And, you know, we know about sheep. We're dumb. But we know your voice. We thank you for calling out to us that we may come to you and find salvation in Jesus alone. Lord, open our hearts to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, first thing we're going to look at this morning is Jesus is our protector. Right? Jesus is our protector. And Jesus uses some imagery here in these 10 verses of John, chapter 10. Sheep, gates, shepherds, thieves, and robbers. Jesus is both the shepherd in verse 2 and the gate in verse 9. Jesus is contrasting himself with the Pharisees who just threw a fit because a blind man was healed on the Sabbath. The Pharisees are the thieves and the robbers who care nothing about the sheep. They care about themselves, what makes themselves look good, instead of people, the people that they are meant to guide and to care for. One of the things we teach in Taekwondo is about people like this is they're bullies. We need to bully-proof ourselves. How do we keep out thieves and robbers? Lock the door. That's one way to do it. I mean, we have doors and windows on locks. But one thing I learned working in safety and security is locks only keep honest people out. Jesus says he is the gate or the door. Gates work in a way that's similar to a door. This means Jesus is our protector because gates are protective and they keep danger out, ideally. Jesus, our protector, is contrasting himself to those bullies, the Pharisees, the wolves. That's the word I was looking for, the wolves. If Jesus is nothing like the Pharisees, then God is nothing like them either. There's something that bullies use as a weapon. They use shame as a way to make someone else feel bad about themselves. And the Pharisees used shame and alienation as weapons. Religious bullies do this kind of thing. They try to shame people into submitting to their demands. And if the people don't comply, they're alienated. They cut them off. To use a modern term, they're canceled. They kick them out of the group. Bullies demand compliance or else. This is exactly what the Pharisees kicked the former blind man out of the synagogue for. Have you ever met a bully? To bully someone is an act of darkness because it dehumanizes the one being bullied. The Pharisees bullied the man born blind by shouting at him, "You're steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? Who do you think you are?" That's what Mark Driscoll would say. Sometimes people think God is a bully, but God never dehumanizes anyone. God will never bully you because He loves you. What does God do? The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and guilt. This means the Holy Spirit will bring to our attention the things that we've done wrong, the sins that we've committed, the mistakes we've made. God does this so that we can see it for ourselves and then ask forgiveness. And then turn away from it. Turn back to God. Right? God convicts us of shame. Wrong word. God convicts us of guilt, not shame. Maybe I early forms of dyslexia or something. I did this at a wedding once. You know that point where you say, you know what God has joined together, let no man separate. I said, what God has separated. That's not right. Let's look at this idea of guilt versus shame for just a moment. Guilt is related to something we do, right? It refers to our actions. If I drive 20 miles an hour over the speed limit, if I lie, if I gossip, I'm guilty. I'm also guilty if I fail to do something that I ought to do. Help someone in need, fail to pray for someone I promised to pray for, you know, things like that. Here's the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt says I made a mistake. Shame says I am a mistake. Guilt has to do with something I've done, while shame has to do with who I am, my identity, and what I believe about myself. You see the difference? The Holy Spirit will convict us of guilt, but He will never, ever shame us. Maybe some of us are living in shame today. Maybe you have this earworm, right? Song playing in your head, telling you that God is ashamed of you. God is disgusted with you. God is so disappointed in you. And you just feel like you're just a pile of garbage. If that's you, God wants to heal you of that. Because that song in your head that plays over and over again is a lie. And it needs to be replaced with truth. Capital T, truth. Some verses for you to consider. Just a couple. Romans 8:1, probably one of my favorites. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Love that one. Romans 10:11. Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. God is our protector. It's not our bully. Jesus reveals a Father who loves us. unconditionally. Even when he sees our sin and our mistakes. The truth is, we don't change because of rules or threats. We change because we are known, we are loved, we are accepted. Verse 3 says he calls his own by name and leads them out. The Father meets us where we're at. He calls us by name. And then leads us out on the journey of transformation and healing. It's like Bilbo running out of his house in Hobbiton. I'm going on an adventure. The Holy Spirit calls us out. That's the song that we need playing in our head. Calls his sheep by name and leads them out. Second thing, Jesus speaks to us. Or maybe it's the... might be wrong on my outline. Nope. Third thing, Jesus speaks to us. Let's read verses 3 and 4 again. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Did you know that one way sheep distinguish between human voices is their past associations and interactions with people? When someone feeds a sheep regularly and is kind to them, they associate with that person, and they learn to distinguish that person from others. Sheep also have a special part in their brain that's particularly sensitive to sound waves and vocalizations, giving them the ability to not only distinguish between the sheep and their own flock, but also to distinguish between different human voices. I guess pretty cool. Jesus uses the example of sheep for a reason. They are uniquely able to hear and distinguish from one person to another. That's cool. Because we are all made in the image of God, we too have a unique ability to distinguish between God's voice and the voice of the enemy. We're not like trees or dogs or fish. We are made in the image of God. Do you know the voice of the risen Christ? Can you distinguish between the voice of Jesus and the other voices that influence you? I don't mean literal, audible voice. I mean the inner intuitive voice of the Holy Spirit. Right? This is that new song playing in our head. Jesus as a person is not an idea or a concept. Here's a little bit of guidance on how to hear the voice of Jesus in your life. It's not anything incredibly mind-blowing. But we can grow in this because Jesus is not an idea or a concept. Jesus is an actual person who has risen and he communicates with us. And he's always helping, he's always loving, he's always forgiving, he's always guiding. Step one. Go to the bookshelf. Step two, grab your Bible. Step three, pull it off. Step four, blow the dust off. All right, flip it open. Find the spot. You know, I recommend if you haven't taken some time to read through the scriptures, start with the Gospel of John. That's a good one. If you really want to get in depth and have a really long, meaningful year. And I meant long in a good way. Not this is stressful and I don't want to do this. We'll start in Genesis 1. Make your way through. Read it. It's the best way to get started. Pick it up and read it. Saturate your hearts and minds with the core teachings of Scripture. And even consider just the core teachings of Jesus found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, 7, or 5, 6, and 7. Or the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. We also learn to hear the voice of Jesus through prayer. It's true that the risen Christ often communicates with us in prayer by giving us an idea, a thought, an impression that otherwise wouldn't have come to us had we not paused to pray. Oh, and the most important part of the prayer, sometimes we got to shut up and listen. Whenever I drive and it's dark, my prayer is, Lord, keep the critters away from the road. Sometimes I'll repeat that over and over again, but sometimes I need to realize I need to shut up and listen. And then, you know, when I do see the three deer off in the ditch, I can go, oh, thank you, Lord, for keeping them off the road. Instead of praying for God to keep the critters off the road. He already did. Why don't I thank Him for the work that He's done? Right? It takes practice. It takes consistently. But Jesus meets us in prayer. Thomas Merton said, prayer is waiting for a word we cannot speak to ourselves. Jesus will speak to us if we create space and give Him room. Often this word is something we could not have spoken to ourselves. Did you know Jesus has a very specific accent? Accents are distinctive. You can get an idea of where someone's from by hearing their accent, right? You know, I'm not from the north, right? I think we were in month two of being in the Dakotas, or month two of school, and Nick comes home from school and goes, yeah, we were in whatever class, and we started talking about accents, and the teacher looked at me and said, well, you have a distinct accent. Where are you from? And Nick says, I ain't got an accent. Y'all got an accent. You can tell if someone's from the South or if they're from Boston. Boston. Based on their accent, right? Jesus has a particular accent that helps us recognize that it's Him speaking to us instead of the enemy. Jesus' accent sounds like kindness. Jesus' accent sounds compassionate. Jesus' accent encourages us to be sacrificial on the behalf of others in self-giving love. Jesus' accent is truthful. Jesus' accent encourages us to be courageous and faithful. If you're hearing things that don't sound like that, they ain't Jesus. Hearing the voice of Jesus is one of the most helpful things. One of those, the most helpful new song that we can have playing in our head. He speaks to us to meet our deepest needs and to heal our deepest wounds. If the song you're hearing in your head isn't helpful with compassion, it's most likely not of God. Scripture says in Romans 2:4, God's kindness leads us to repentance. Jesus said that in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I think I've shared this story before. When we interacted with Dare to Share, when I was doing youth ministry, we had one of the speakers that was with Dare to Share. His name was Zane Black. And he was your stereotypical surfer dude. And he told a story of walking through the parking lot of his apartment complex, and there was a kid sitting on the curb with a skateboard in his lap, wheels up. And he was sitting on the curb, spinning the wheels. Just spinning the wheels. And Zane goes up to him and says, you having fun? Yeah. This is fun. You ain't seen nothing yet. Let me show you something. Takes the skateboard, flips it over, sets it down, puts the kid on the skateboard, and pushes him. That's abundant life. The kid was living. He was enjoying life, just spinning his wheels. But man, when he got up on that board and went, his life was full. It was abundant. It was Amazing. What, an injured? Is that what you said? That was you. One of the best ways we can hear a new song in our head is to practice listening to the voice of the risen Christ. Right, we do this through scripture, through prayer, through learning his accent, letting his words penetrate deeply into our hearts and our minds. His people know his voice. And he leads us into green pastures, into good things, into a meaningful, abundant life. And he heals and he transforms us every step of the way. Isn't God good? Isn't he wonderful? If God is calling, it's time to answer. If you're hearing this song in your head, God is angry with you, God is disappointed in you, God is punishing you, man, let's play Baby Shark instead, because even that's better. Even that's better than hearing that other nonsense, right? Surrender to the call that God is putting in your heart. He's calling out to you. Are you hearing his voice? Will you respond? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you call us, that you know us, and that you lead us when we answer your call. Lord, let us be obedient and surrender to your call. In Jesus' name, amen.